7 feet. Barren, strange fruit. Blood on the leaves. And blood at the roots. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant South. Them big bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolia, clean and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit. For the crows to pluck. For the rain to gather. For the wind to suck. For the sun to rot. For the
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and thanks for joining me out there. Just love every day of it right here in Hawaii. I should have to pay a little more rent to be here because that's just how good it is. But they can collect later. Anyway, that was Nina Simone, Strange Fruits. And many of you have heard it, the rendition from Billie Holiday. And I hope that you do understand what it means and understand that it's not over until it's over. And so Mississippi, you know, she has that Mississippi Goddamn a song that was a lot. And I just watched the movie. I had no idea that it was here. And it was my friend Jan Weinberg tipped me off about it, and I sat there. And usually I don't have the patience to watch a movie in its entirety. This one I did. She's always been a favorite of mine anyway, from her, the things, the sacrifices that she made, and she brings to shame many of people who say, I have to be careful, I'll lose my career, I'll lose my job, I'll lose this and I'll lose that, and while all along you're trying to find your way in reality, all of us. So I'm just gratefully in debt to her, as to Nina Simone, for what she did. And she was gave up a lot, you know. And you don't really have to be a radical here in America. All you have to do is just say, can I just have one day of peace and calm and my freedom? If you were to speak in those terms, that would be all. And it's sufficient enough to have the cops check you out, the FBI check you out, your school principal check you out, whatever. Just utter those words. I'd like to taste the freshness of freedom, just for once, without conditions. You're not going to get it. But that's where we are in today's society, and that's what we've come to expect. So anyway, I want to share with you a couple things. These are not paid commercials or anything, but if you like blues, take this email down, first of all, and this website, JP, that's in John Paul Smoketrain.com, JPSmoketrain.com, that's the website. The email is JPSmoketrain@Hawaii.rr.com. Now, if you like blues and you're into good blues and want to eat some food and what have you, every Friday from 6 to 8, he's at the Bella Bistro on Hamakua in Kailua. That's on the Bella Bistro on Hamakua in Kailua. Every Saturday, he's at Hoku Brewing, a company on Nimitz, at 6 to 8. Every second and fourth Saturday, 11 to 1 p.m. And some of you have seen him there at Nico's, but the brother has some good music. And being from the South and knowing blues and loving blues, and it's in my veins. I can't play a lick of blues, but I sure can listen to it. So I'm an expert at listening. But anyway, just in case you're interested, again, JPSmoketrain@Hawaii.rr.com. And another one is, you like good Thai food? Now, there's many Thai food restaurants, and some of them are good, and I don't frequent them, but when I get the occasion to, I will definitely go to one or any of them. There's one in Haleiwa, which is awesome, at the old bank building there, across from where Rosie's Cantina used to be. This one is Chow Fire Thai Restaurant. Mina Brinkhoff is the owner and partner. And Wynwood City Shopping Center, 45480 Kaneohe Bay Drive. And I offer that, their phone number is 235-3555. You want to eat good food, folks, good Thai food, good vegetarian dishes and what have you. Pretty much anything that can be made vegetarian without the meat, just ask them to exclude the meat. But really good. They call her Mama. So Mama Toy's restaurant, Mama Toy. So if you go there, it's right by the Starbucks. And again, these are not paid commercials. They're just a good experience, good people. And one other thing, you know, out there in I'm going to give them a chance to come in and an opportunity to share with them, to allow them to come in or call in and talk about the hardship that they're experiencing out there due to this rail. And that's the Flamingo restaurant right there in Pearl City. I was talking to a couple of the employees there and learning that they have rolled back their prices, number one, because the rail and the traffic and the people reluctant to get in traffic and be out there and stuck in traffic, their business has diminished or declined substantially. And there's no compensation, apparently. So you're on your own. While the rail is being progressing, a lot of businesses are being derailed, so to speak. And that's the Flamingo. So they've expanded their hours, I think, and the prices have rolled their prices back. And in the next hour, maybe I'll try and call them. But it's a sad story when our government officials, they are myopic and they see exactly what they want and what their vendors want and what having the contractors want, but and their handlers want. And this mayor, I'm sorry, you might think he's fine, but I think he's a fascist. I think that he is insensitive. He is a man that needs to be rehabilitated, if that's possible. I think he's far gone and how sleepy he was in his role as a legislator and what have you. And he's a menace to the growth and the community effort and community-minded people here in the state. And he takes a position now that, you know, he's against the expanding the SIT law. If you supported it in any form or fashion, you're just as guilty as those that are expanding it. So anyway, things could be done better. So that's basically the thing that, and I want to, we're going to talk about Monk Seals. I had scheduled to have someone, a number of people to call in, or come in actually, and talk about the expansion of the Mauna Loa Bay. And they apparently declined or didn't believe that it was worth it, or maybe my request to if we were going to make any claims or any statements towards someone, other person's actions, then we should be able to substantiate it. And I think that's only reasonable. And not that I'm perfect, but at least when the opportunity affords itself, you want to be fair and accurate as best you can with the availability and of information. But you know, we talked about talking about government, and there's some good things that have developed here. One, we're going to be talking about the lagoon down in Sand Island. We talked about the oil tanks that were linking and Kehi Lagoon. I'm sorry, I'm thinking Pico Lagoon. I was just out there and tell you too many names. Anyway, the Kehi Lagoon. You know the ASIG, or the Hawaii Fuel Facility, there it leaked, and they claim 40-some thousand gallons leaked. Well, there are some new developments, and you may have seen a little bit on KGMB, but we're going to talk about that notice of order that was issued to that company, and it's just not pretty. And keep in mind now, there, you know, we talk about cover-ups and we talk about the Minnehunis, and we talk about all those things that are in government. A lot of you will call up and talk about the, suggest that there's the Infotata and Malatata and all of those names and the weird things that happen. But here in this state, there is an effort on every level within government, at every level, to shield the public from the truth, to while claiming they are the regulatory body with the best interests of the people. And this document is quite revealing. You know, the tanks leaked, and you see the EPA putting on a dog and pony show about how they are managing and attempting to mitigate and mitigating the impacts and the damages to the environment. And you know, I mean, if you didn't know any better, you'd just send them flowers. But the reality is, if you listen to this show, you should be able to throw rocks at them instead of flowers, because it's all BS, and you know what BS is, not Bachelor of Science. But that, and then the State Health Department is, when you ask the State Health Department, well, what about those tanks, and can you tell me anything about them? Have you been inside and inspect? Well, no, we didn't go inside to inspect it, but we do know that the EPA is handling it because we handed it all over to the EPA. No, you didn't. You handed it over to the business and the private entities who you're best serving and protecting. You're not protecting the environment. So well, you know, we have this and that. So I actually, knowing that and learning that the state employees never been inside that fuel facility, those tanks, because I'm told they don't have not received there's a card you get for airport and security now for all of those things, and they didn't want to go through the trouble. Now, this is a regulatory body. So if you are afraid to go get the card to clear yourself to go in, then how can you stand there on the outside and say, we know what's going on the inside? So I filed, and this wasn't independently done because of my complaint, but the U.S. Department of Transportation has an office or a body or part of an office that's called the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. So I'm asking questions of the State Health Department and the people that are overseeing this and saying, have you contacted the Pipeline Safety Office? And, well, no, EPA is handling this. This is in the EPA's hand. Now, if a tank has pipes connected to it, and you know that the tank has fuels and chemicals in it for storage, wouldn't you also be concerned, even though it's not your regulatory authority purview, wouldn't you be concerned that you would ask them, well, we see the tank is okay, but in reality, the tank isn't after you hear this report. But there are pipes attached to the tank, so how are the tanks, even though we don't have authority, are you losing any fuel in the pipes? Is there any problem or anything like that? But the state refuses to ask that because, you see, they don't regulate that. The Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration handles that. It's absolutely nonsense. It's ludicrous, and you don't have to know everything, but at least if you have different concerns or regulatory authority within your responsibility, but you should at least be eager enough to share notes and ask questions. So this report is really revealing and eye-opening. And we've talked for some while now about the monk seal. And for some of those of you out there, you can call up now if you like to you know, I won't say it, but it's and be grumpy or tell me I'm wrong. But I want to ask you something here. Now, for starts, I've told you the story about the regional manager here, or district manager, whatever he is. He's the top dog, Michael Tosato. As you remember, I told you I had requested some information from him regarding the death of a monk seal and a few other things, and also on turtles. And as far as monk seals and the hooks and, you know, all of that. And he basically told me he wouldn't answer me, not at this time, and wouldn't, and I have to keep pulling. And finally, I contacted the Washington office, what I could say Washington, Maryland office, and complained to them. And subsequent to that complaint, the ice broke, and I started to get a few documents and a few responses, but not complete. And I've told you about how they've strategically impede with purpose any FOIAs or delivery of FOIAs in a timely fashion. And we might go over that again. But anyway, it's less than honest, being honest. And it's less than being stellar in your role as a public servant or his role. So I file a FOIA because he refused to talk to me as a human being. I don't know. Maybe he thought I was strange fruit. But whatever the case is, he didn't, and he's obligated to either talk to me, answer me, or relegate it to someone else. But at least you just can't tell me you're not answering anything right now. In the meantime, on Facebook and everywhere else, you're chatting with half-truth and mistruth and misstatements. So this Tosato, I get this email through FOIA, and many of you, that's FOIA's Freedom of Information Act request. And you as a citizen of these United States have a right to file and ask your government for records so that you can see how government function. And it's just, it's the right thing to do. It's our government, supposedly. But Tosato didn't get that. He was sick that day when they were telling him, You know, you work for the public, and when the public asks you questions, if it's not something that's going to impede or unreasonable requests or what have you, you're supposed to work with them because they pay your salary, Michael. But anyway, didn't get anything, and now I found out why. Through this FOIA, I get an email, a list of emails that they have to present. And this FOIA, I wrote the request on the 23rd of April 2015, and basically asking him, telling him that I'm preparing a radio show on Sunday, May 3rd, and would like to request your assistance in obtaining answers to the following questions related to recent death of a monk seal identified as RB24, RB25, and bleach identification N24. So,
I'm not talking to you at this time, and as I said, I'm just not talking to you at this time. I'm not going to answer any questions right now, basically, the gist of it. And I see why, because I asked for his emails internally, and here's what, believe this now, folks. Wendy, do you want to join Mike and I at 1 p.m.? Looks like you might be busy, though. If you are, perhaps we could extend a 2:30 to 2:30 and talk about this between 2 and 2:30. And now this is my request to have, you know, information on this monk seal that I read to you. So on Thursday, 23rd of 2015, Michael Tosada wrote to Ann and Wendy, Wendy Gu and Ann, whatever her name is. Let's see here. What? Ann Garrett, NOAA Federal. Anyway, she works for NOAA. And this is what he wrote. Please review this request for information, and let's discuss any benefits in providing a response. Please review this request for information, and let's discuss any benefits in providing a response. Now, imagine that. He refused talk. He tells me that he's not going to talk or answer any questions. But then he's busy behind the scene talking with his staff and telling them, let's get together and see if there's any benefit to respond for us to respond to this guy. Boy, I tell you, it's rough being strange fruit. I kid you not. It's rough. It's dangling. It's the low-hanging fruit, they just let you fall to the ground. And I have no other reason, folks, to explain to you why a man who has a legal obligation and a moral obligation to do what's right, and then in turn, when the occasion affords itself, he does not. So I began to think, well, gee, there must be a reason for this kind of craziness going on here. And so get this. I'm asking questions about this monk seal and the status. And I'm learning some interesting things while they're busy, you know, flipping me off and dissing me and you and everybody else that is interested in their activities as government function. I found out, you know, the lady that knocked the phone out of the lady's hand, and that big hoo-hoo, and you saw that on TV and what have you, and the lady went and obtained a TRO, and I think it was mutual something. I don't know all the details on it. But Leslie McPherson. So this is from an email that was recovered from Tosado's office after he wouldn't talk to me and after I have to go higher up and then file a FOIA. So, dear Leslie, it was nice talking with you today. As mentioned, we are planning to set up a small tent and provide some refreshments, water, ice, tea, and cookies to those attending the service for Haupu's Pup Seal on Friday at 4 p.m. As such, I had some questions about Friday's ceremony. Here they are. 1. Who and how many people are coming to the ceremony for Friday at 4 p.m.? Is there any Hawaiian protocol that I need to be aware of? Should we get a maile lei for either the Hawaiian practitioner, Kavika Ao, or for the monk seal? Was a name given to the pup? I appreciate all that you and David do for the marine mammals or animals in Hawaii. Thanks again for all your help. I look forward to hearing back from you, Barbara Opperman. Now, this is how dumb these people are. They're so mean that they scratch out the name "the two from," but then they don't scratch out the name "who sent it." You know, it's just tell you, this guy Tosato and many of the federal employees lend themselves to this petty nonsense. It's just crap. But they respond back. Leslie responds back. "Dear Barbara, I spoke to David," and David is David Schofield, a federal employee for NOAA. "I spoke to David yesterday, and here are some of the answers for you. We should all be at your house at 4 p.m. The ceremony should start around 4:30 p.m. I'll be checking and confirming the list of names this morning, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. As mentioned previously, between NOAA and personnel and Monk Seal Foundation volunteers, there should be approximately 10 people. The practitioner will be Kavika Au. The lays will be very welcome. As far as David and I know, there are no protocol for them. The pup was not nicknamed, but it did have a number and documentation purposes. Due to the very small size of the deceased seal pup, there will only be a small handful of ashes. This is more or less how the ceremonies go." So apparently they've had others. "Not necessarily in this order. The practitioner will do the ceremony. David will speak a little about Hawaiian monk seals. People, volunteers that have monitored the seal usually are invited to tell some story they have about the seal. RB-24 nickname Haupu. She was born on Kauai on November 6, 2007. Mother RK-12, Leslie. Here's a list of participants in the Friday ceremony. Not all have confirmed their presence. David Schofield, NOAA. Dalen D'Alessandro, NOAA. Rachel Sprague, NOAA. Tracy Worth, NOAA. Mark Sullivan, NOAA. Kavika Au, Hawaiian practitioner. Dana Jones, Monk Seal Foundation. Joy Silver, Monk Seal Foundation. Kimo Lyman, Monk Seal Foundation. Ailiu E. Lyman, Monk Seal Foundation. Leslie McPherson, Monk Seal Foundation. Don Porter, Monk Seal Foundation. My question is, what kind of service are they giving? And these federal employees got time on their hand to go and participate in a religious ceremony of sort to protect, to say, and I love monk seals, but I want to hear from you later and you tell me, am I overreacting? Should federal employees be attending? Talking about separation of church and state. But again, there are bigger issues. They don't have time to answer me as they are obligated to, giving me some reasonable answer. They just blow you off. But maybe they were busy that day out at the seal farm. So what if this seal was an atheist or an agnostic? What if this seal was Jewish? What if he was Muslim? What if he was Christian? Do they know? What kind of burial is this? I'm being facetious in some sense, but the bigger point is, this is how silly a threatened species that is at the doorsteps of extinction, and these Yahoos are running around having funeral services for monk seals. Spend that time communicating with us, all of us, and why didn't you invite us to that funeral? We may have also had a special relationship with that monk seal, even though he only breathed. He was born. And that question, and we'll talk about that, they say that it was stillborn, but the doctor, Levine, suggests in his necropsy report that the animal actually was born live and breathe, and the subsequent to that ended up with a bolus in its of sand bolus in his stomach or in his nasal area, and that is what caused that. So the volunteers writes openly, "Oh, it was a miscarriage. Basically, it was stillborn." See, when you get nonsense like this being disseminated, I say the government should not be affiliated with anybody that is willing to lie for the government, because all it does is interfere. It creates another layer that you and I have to assess, we have to navigate. Anyway, that was that, and we'll talk later about it, and we're going to talk about that ASIG. But guess what, guys? I have the pleasure of my old friend, your old friend, and someone that's key to a lot of this operation here at KWAI, Mr. Francis, and he's back with us. He's been under the weather a little bit, but I was just happy. And many of you have asked, how's Francis? How's Francis? Good morning, Francis.
Number three.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, got it?
Yeah,
all
I
right,
got
there
it.
We go.
We're jumping around on microphones.
Okay, huh? Great.
Tell us what's been happening, Francis. I miss you, obviously. You can see fine in the microphone, but in reality, we really miss you. Forget the show and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been? And people have been asking about you, and I'm thankful that you're doing okay. Well, he's looking handsome, ladies.
Well, as you can see, I lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and unfortunately, for some of you who don't know, I have cancer
mm-hmm.
in the abdomen, and I've been out for, gosh, it's almost been a month already, a month and a half. I've been in and out of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm hanging in there.
I got two questions. Do you miss us, and how are the nurses treating you?
I miss everyone at the station. I miss doing production for some of our shows here. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I take pride in is, you know, helping them out. And, you know, when I hear my work on the air, you know, I have to admit, the head swells up a little bit.
Yeah. And it is. And I was, every time I... There's Francis.
Uh-huh.
So, for all of you out there, this is what Francis...
It's time for
the
Carol Cox Show right here at K108.
And many of the commercials.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Now, if I could learn to speak like that with a radio voice, and people don't realize you're you produce many of the commercials.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, a month ago, my voice was terrible. I mean, I hardly could talk.
Yeah.
And now that I feel great, you know, one thing I'll do later on is, of course, call Barry, our general manager, ask him if I can come back this week because
mm-hmm.
I feel great now.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll call him and ask him if you can. We need you, brother. No, see how selfish we are. But, you know, like John Nolan, who has a show here every day
from
5 to 7.
I'm sure he misses my production very bad.
I've heard him say that. Gee, where's Francis when I need him?
Yes.
But, you know, John, and then there's Jeff Davis on Fridays from 4 to 5,
mm-hmm.
right? And we all miss you, and it's clear and telling, you know. Hold on. Caller, good morning.
Francis, darling.
Hi.
This is Marcia.
Hey, Marcia, how's it going?
Well, I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
We did radio a long time ago together.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I'm so glad.
And unfortunately, something in my life happened to me. I mean... you know, and at times I have the, you know, I think the woe is me thing. Why me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have cancer?
Yeah. Can you guys hold on one second? Yeah. I think there's one. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. You have a comment, a question?
Good morning, Francis. I was quite excited when Carol announced there was a visitor. I was going, I hope it's Francis because I haven't heard him on air, and it was just great to hear his voice, so I'm glad
thanks.
You're doing good, Francis.
Oh,
take
yeah,
care.
Yeah. Take yeah. care. Thank you.
Hey, yeah. And another thing. Thank you, caller.
All right.
Yeah, so before I go any further.
Oh, Francis, by the way, ahead. Let me tell you about the hospital. I mean, all the nurses down there, they're super. I mean, you know, I wish it would be more of a social setting than in a hospital so
yeah.
I can get to know them more.
Yeah.
But they're super nurses. And, you know, I respect very much the job they do because one night, I have to tell you this story. One mm-hmm. night, this was in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, and the patient across from my room, he was, I guess he was having trouble, you know, trouble you know, not knowing where he was. And, you know, these nurse's aides, you know, keep telling him. Oh, go ahead.
No, somebody, you got to be patient, brother.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Well, anyway, you know, these nurses keep reminding him that he's in the hospital. I guess he was, you know, he didn't know where he was. And but, you know, the point is these nurses work very hard to keep the patients comfortable and, you know, mm-hmm. everything.
Makes a difference, huh?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I want to change track for 1 second. And this is, guys out there, if you love animals or don't like animals, and you either love the cats and don't like the cats and you complain about the number of cats out there, here's a unique situation that's developed. There is a matching fund of $50,000, and it expires on, let me just read it to you. Carol, please post the forward if possible. Super exciting news. We have a donor willing to match dollar per dollar up to $50,000, whatever we are able to raise in 1 week, starting Sunday, 6/28. We're getting this a little late, but we still have till 12 o'clock tonight. If you are considering donating to Cat Friends, please act now so we can get matching funds. Such an incredible donation will allow us to continue our offer of $5 sterilization definitely. Donations can be made via PayPal at hicatfriends.org, hawaiicatfriends.org, hicatfriends.org. Or mail the donation to P.O. Box 240052 / Honolulu 96824. And I hope to give this again. But for myself, I don't believe the cats personally should be in the wild and in the environment. But the reality is they are, because we are reckless, most of us, with our cats and pets. And we get on the plane and leave. We leave Fido or Fluffy or Pawpaw back home with Hero to fend for itself. And they love to mate just like you and I, and to keep their generations and their species going. So anyway, if you would and interested in it, and to spay one cat means remove that potential reproduction machine, and they can reproduce real quick, especially in this tropical setting. So anyway, again, Post Office Box 240052 if you want to write and send a donation. And you have until 12 o'clock tonight if you can have it postmarked or call in. I don't know the phone number. And this is a 501c3 organization, and your donations are going to write off. So please, please, please. And if you're on PayPal, hicatfriends.org. Okay, Francis, we're back, and go ahead. Hold on. There's some sound like some people want to talk to you. Yeah. I never have this number of calls, man. You walk in. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yo, what's up, Carol? What's up, Francis?
Hey, how's it going, Jacob?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to you in forever.
Yes. It feels like forever, yeah.
I used to get to talk to you off the air, and now mm-hmm. I don't know what's up.
Well, pretty soon I'll be back at work, so, you know.
So you and Carol are just co-hosting?
Yes.
Oh.
He's a man with the plans and the brains. I'm just here coming with papers and documents.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
Francis, I haven't talked to you in forever. I mean, it's been a long time, you know?
Yeah, well, I've been sick. That's why I haven't been here at work. But I feel good now, so I'll be coming back soon.
That's good. I mean, now, I thought Carol was just doing the show on his own.
Whoa. Sorry, though.
Yo, Carol, how you doing, man?
Fine. Francis is like my training wheels, man.
Oh, yo, Francis.
After 9 years.
Yo, Francis, you know the UH baseball season's over.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I missed part of it this year. But, again, yeah, it's too bad that
we lost, like, 2 games to Arizona.
Yes.
We ended the season in Arizona.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hold on, Jake. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Thank you, Carol, for this program. Hey, Francis, this
yes.
is Lana.
Hey, Lana.
I'm shocked to hear what's going on with you. You know, we go way back before Marsha.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm thinking I'm talking to teenagers here. What?
Hey, Lana.
Oh, we go way back.
Lana. I, yes. You know, it's still fresh in my mind, but I remember the day when I first met you. You came downstairs.
Remember I came in the office?
Yeah, you came downstairs with something for...
The secret way, because the security guard was nowhere to be found.
Right, and you had something for Ted Sachs
bread.
That day,
bread.
Remember?
No, and I gave you a loaf of bread.
Yeah, that's cake. Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, hey, man, huggy.
Yeah.
Hey, what a bummer about that. This couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I mean, you're so valuable. I know you're behind the scenes, but at one time you used to be like Bob, do the radio program when the people didn't come in or they go on vacation.
And, I remember those days. Yeah.
Yeah, those were the days. But you know, I always have good thoughts about you. Every morning I used to listen to the Filipino program just to hear you.
Yes.
Remember I call you behind the scenes?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I really wish you the best because.
Well, thank you.
It is real bad, but you sound good, though.
Yeah. How about this, Joe Lazio, Mr. Francis?
Yeah.
Well, we all love you, Francis, and we'll be praying and thinking good thoughts. We always think of you highly, you know?
Well, because thank
you. Thanks. You're the hard worker behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And I will fight it. I'm not going through this, you know, woe is me thing. I'm fighting this. You know. Yeah.
I know. I bet you went through that, like, yeah, you know, why me? But, hey, it is what it is, so
yes.
I'm going to lick it, right?
Right,
go for it.
Right.
But you sound really strong, you know, really good.
Yes, I have my strength back. Thank goodness.
Okay.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, we all love you, so you take care now.
Thank you, Lana.
Okay,
alrighty, thank you, Lana.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for joining in.
Okay.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. You have any comments?
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, Richard.
Hello.
Oh, hold up. We got Jacob on the other line, too. I hear him.
Yeah. What's up, Francis?
Hi, Jacob. Thanks a lot, Jacob. It was nice talking to you, man.
Nice talking to you, too, man.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Okay, Richard, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. I forgot to mention to Carol that I met you on the handy van one day. Yes.
I just wanted to thank you very much for accepting my calls, and I'm meeting you on the van.
Uh-huh.
You were gracious, and I didn't understand your problems. I wanted to mention this to you, and I just thank you so much, and you and Carol are so important. But I was a former quadriplegic, which means no arms, no legs for about 4 months. And C234 vertebrae went in the spinal cord. They took the pressure off the cord. It wasn't severed, and I'm okay now.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you look good that day I met you.
Well, you never give up.
Yes.
You
yes.
never give up.
I will not.
During the time I had no movement, I never doubted that I would move again.
Uh-huh.
And the work that the nurses, especially at Rehab of the Pacific, miraculous. And my advice to you is never give up.
Thanks, Richard.
God bless you, Francis. God bless Carol.
All righty, and good hearing you. Well, I hear you every morning on the Polka early morning show there. You definitely keep in watch.
I am.
And by the way, I talked to the driver that was driving that van that day.
Yes?
With the two of you guys on there. He says, man, that was hell on wheels.
I hope so.
With Richard raising hell every Sunday morning.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. So you're doing a lot of walking, and kind of diet? Are they giving you a new diet?
Unfortunately, it's a liquid diet.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's hard to, you know. Especially when people around you talk about food, you know, you get that craving.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, got to follow directions.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah. Marcia?
Yes, I am a cancer survivor, so
yes,
I do know. And no one can ever know what you are going through, but I can tell you, as a survivor,
how many
you
years
can't survive.
Already? How many years already?
Oh, gosh. I've had so many cancers, it's kind of hard to remember. The first one was in 1976.
Uh-huh.
And the last one was 2001.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So 2006. 2006 was the last
one. And what do you attribute your longevity
to? I am too mean to surrender.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Don't give up, right?
I'm too opinionated. I got too much to say. I'm not going to give up.
Yeah, I said, I think that was Tina that called.
Yeah.
You know, she, too, was recently diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. She's shared that on the show, and and she went away so quick. I said, thank you, call for calling.
it was Tina. I recognize her voice. Yeah.
But anyway, she can call back if she's got time for us little guys.
Well, you know, when I first came to the station, Francis was on the phone guiding me through that maze to get into the station.
Ah.
I'm sure he doesn't remember because he's done that for so many people.
Was it in the same location?
Yeah.
Yeah, right here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to transfer from one elevator to another and then through the maze.
Yes.
And it is so, that building is so Chinese, because you know Chinese are masters at all these little hidden doorways.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I kept saying I'm lost, and Francis would say, do this, do this, do this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, and what happens is that we're talking about the radio and your contributions there, but for me, I don't see you as a radio person or anything. I see you as a good person. And I want to tell you publicly that you're an awesome person, and that when we, you know, whether we're walking downstairs and getting a chuckling or getting some dim sum or getting them some or whatever, right? So it's not, we're not going to dwell on the what you're going through, but just to say you beat it, I'm sure. So what are you going to do I have about, I got a whole list of new commercials I want to make. When you ready?
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm kidding.
Please don't do that to me. I know I'm behind, but.
Hey, Francis, you walk through the door and there'll be a sign, welcome. Can you get these done?
Yeah, really. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody comes up. Hey, Francis, you know, you're behind on taping my shows to archive. Here, here's all of them, you know.
Yeah, here's all the tapes and the CDs. So when can I get them? Can I get them back tomorrow?
I really have to stay all night just to do that.
Paula, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to say how wonderful it is to hear Francis. But I also wanted to remind the all your listeners, Carol, about the Red Hill Fuel, the community meeting that you helped to produce. That's going to actually air this Wednesday, July 8th at 8:30 p.m. on Channel 55, and there's also still time to give public comment.
Mm-hmm. And I think the reason she mentioned that, we're listening to various testifiers and the list of cancers and the list of people that, so, you know, and they're drawing water from, and it's not to say that that water caused that or contributed to that, but it was just an eerie, disturbing set of testimony to learn that people living in that immediate area drinking that water, you know, again, can't draw a conclusion that it caused it. But so when again is it going to air?
It'll air this Wednesday, Channel 55 at 8:30 p.m. That's on Olelo. And then again on Saturday at 4:30, Channel 55, Pathways to Paradise, produced by you. And we really want to thank you for making sure that the community will be able to hear, because many of the community without the Board of Water Supply sending out the letter, most people did not get afforded an opportunity to attend or even know about that meeting.
Right. And what's so telling is that they didn't bother to even bring a video camera to record it and then put it on the level, which is the easiest thing to do. So they wanted to keep the public in the dark and head on the water.
Well, can I ask a question? How is it they had already signed the document?
You mean
before they asked us for public comment?
You mean the Navy and the DLA,
the
Department of Logistics Agency?
Yeah, they had already signed off.
Yeah, that's
as did Gabbard. And yet now they're asking for public comment.
Yeah, well, that's I say to Gabbard and all those high mucky muckies who should be out there, stop mucky mucking around and do the right thing, because this is a very serious issue and raises some, has some health implications. So, you know.
And for myself, Carol, it was quite startling. A lot of the things you talked about, Camp Lejeune and the water and the number of men that got breast cancer, and then being at this meeting and hearing some of the, I lived in Foster Village. I also worked on Pearl Harbor for a long time, so it begs these questions.
And then,
what is the relationship?
And then here you are now recently diagnosed with the big C as well.
Yeah, I had two major surgeries for breast cancer, went through daily radiation, so I really know exactly what Francis, I haven't been, fortunately, had to have a liquid diet, although some of my friends probably said I need one, you know, go get a drink, Tina. But, you know, I hope that to see Francis soon and maybe go get some soup with him, because I love soup.
Yeah, well, we're going to do that. We were talking about that the other day, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to remind everybody that if not only can you still turn in your testimony, and I think, Carol, you talked about that on your one show till July 20th, but also watch this Wednesday. You're going to hear not only Carol speaking, Ernest Lau, Marcia, and a lot of the residents that have, like Carol mentioned, whose family members or themselves have come up with these rare forms of cancer. And so it just begs so many questions. And then the whole thing about protecting our water table, and I think that's why what you're talking about with Sand Island and the airlines and that fuel leaking in, it's all connected.
Well,
so
thank you. Has suggests the same implications anyway, and who's watching out for us? I mean, I'm sure Francis didn't come by here to drop in to be political.
It was so good to hear his voice when you were saying someone's there in the studio. I mean, I know you got a lot of great guests and a lot of people with great information, but my hopes, I was sitting there going, I hope it's Francis.
Yeah, well, anyway, we're going to take a break, guys, and then we'll be back. And Francis, you're going to hang in here with me for a little bit more?
Okay.
All right. And then too bad we can't go down and get dim sum.
Sorry, I know.
Vegetarian. But
not even vegetarian. If you can find a way to liquefy dim sum, you know.
Oh, I'm sure listeners.
Well, Francis, you can have hot sour soup. It's wonderful for healing.
Oh, yes. I've had hot sour soup. I like it. Sure.
It's wonderful for healing.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll be right back, guys.
My time breaking rocks out here on the chain gang, 'cause they done convicted me of crime. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working and working, but I still got so terribly far to go. I committed crime, Lord, I need it. Crime of being hungry and poor. I left the grocery store, man, breathing when they caught me robbing a store. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working and working, but I still got so terribly far to go. I heard the judge say 5 years on chain gang you gonna go. I heard the judge say 5 years of labor. I heard my old man scream, Lordy, no. Hold
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I'm sitting here with my friend and our technician, Mr. Francis, and he stopped in and, you know, he's been under the weather a little bit, but get him out in the sunshine, and he's going to come back Tuesday, right, Francis?
Yeah, around there.
Around, okay. And, well, maybe we can go get soup Monday.
Okay.
All right, let's, that one's there. Is that hot?
Testing kit number three.
Yeah, okay.
There we go.
Yeah, it sounds like it's hot.
All right, there we go.
Yeah. Boy, chasing these microphones is kind of... Anyway, again, I told you earlier, guys, about a matching fund thing, and I hope that most of you would pitch in and help, and a little bit helps everything. And so, anyway, I told you guys I was going to talk about these tanks at KE Lagoon. And this agency that handling this, these tanks, as one agency, I should say, there's the EPA in the cover-up mode, and they got this fancy website, and they keep you posted on the new developments, but the developments is only the ones that are polished and shine and put a, you know, you don't really know what's going on. They don't want you really down there in the way and looking around you, so as long as you're part of the game and read what they feed, that's okay. And the reality is, what has the practice here in this state is the EPA is nothing more than a sellout job for big business. They talk, they threaten, and you think, oh my God, we want to get some relief here, and somebody's going to jail. And what happens is that they go in and they pretend and they insulate.
the violator. Now, I know accidents happen, but I'm sorry. At some point, we have to give up that line of thought and thinking. And then the state health department, it's like having a chihuahua guarding Fort Knox. That's what the state health department is, and with no teeth. And whose bark has been, vocal cord has been cut. You see, so what they learn to do is sit, roll over, rush to the door, make a little noise, call the press release and release that, and you could make head or tail of what it is that they're saying. And in this case, I'm going to share with you some of the greater details of what happened. And I had already reported this way back, that they knew that and detected this leak in December of 2014. The state health department, only in a formal public release to the media, was on around the 26th of January. But they had received the information on the 21st, so they say. But they'd also been informed, that I was informed, that they, back in December, they knew about it. But they don't go on the property. So when you ask the state health department, well, what about that facility over there, those tanks and that tank too that was leaking? Oh, well, you know, EPA is handling that. You know, we had Big Brother, in other words, the guys that are skilled at lying and cheating and telling the public lies and leading them down a path of just no return, of just complete frustration, that's the EPA. They have one spokesperson here, and then they have, I think there's a couple other employees. They're always there, but then whatever happens, you call them up, and they have one or two special agents. I don't know. It doesn't matter, but it's not sufficient when you consider the number of military bases, the number of organizations, and the transport of fuels, and the transport the cargo that comes in, and the airlines, and all of those things. And we have a skeleton crew. Now, if you're mad about it, don't look at me. I'm just telling you what it is. And then they have a public relations guy who knows everything about anything, but I bet you've never met him. You've never seen him at any site. And one thing about this town is that if you come 8 to 5, the news comes on, it's 8 to 6, you know, they come, the office open, and they need a soundbite. And so they're more likely to give homage, pay homage and respect to that public relations person's in the office than anything, and as long as they get a soundbite to fit the story. It doesn't matter what it is, just something, you know, and that tend to, well, we have the state's comments, so that's the balance part of it. Is it fair? I don't know. But anyway, this is a notice of proposed safety issued by the United States Department of Transportation Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. And this is their preliminary findings. Pursuant to Chapter 601 of the Title 49 United States Code, the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, PHMSA, has initiated an investigation of the safe operation of Sand Island Tank Facility in Oahu. This tank facility is owned by Hawaii Fueling Facilities Corporation, HFFC, and operated by the Aircraft Services International Group, ASIG. The Sand Island Tank Facility receives jet fuel from PHMSA regulated pipelines operated by other companies. ASIG stores the jet fuel in PHMSA regulated breakout tanks prior to being transported by their pipelines to the Honolulu International Airport. So and tank two is the one. The investigation was prompted. Now, this is, follow this set of dates, was prompted after PHMSA was notified on January 21st, 2015, by the National Response Center of a jet fuel lease release from Tank 2 at the Sand Island Tank Facility. As a result of the investigation, it appears conditions exist at this breakout tank facility posing
and integrity risk of public safety, property, and the environment. That's not my words, ladies and gentlemen. And the EPA, well, they'll tell you, oh, well, that's not our purview. See, we don't do the pipes, so we don't really know. But you haven't heard any comments such as that. They're worried about it and trying to prevent it from getting into the environment. But if it's in the ground and in the groundwater, then it's in the environment. It's not in their tanks. And if it's migrating toward, a plume is migrating onto state land, which is all on state land, all of it is, but have migrated outside of the facility, then even more so. But then, you know, it poses no risk of blowing up to the public and what have you, but the damage is done. How do we quantify? How does the state get reimbursed? The affected breakout tank facility is known as the Sand Island Tank Facility. The tanks facility consists of 16 above-ground storage tanks that receive and supply fuel via the PHMSA U.S. Coast Guard regulated pipelines, which defines the tanks at the tank facility as PHMSA regulated breakout tanks. Tank 2 of the tank facility was constructed in 1973, with a new single bottom floor installed in 1989. The other tanks on the tank facility was constructed between 1966 and 1989, and each can store between 25,000 barrels and 132,000 barrels of jet fuel. Now imagine, now we have Red Hill up the hill, and we got Kehi Lagoon, the ASIG, downhill, and it's sitting just in close proximity to the ocean and the ocean groundwater. And, you know, tidal influence underground can be quite sensitive. The tank facility is located adjacent to the Honolulu Harbor. The tank facility is situated within an ecological, unusually sensitive area, as defined in 49 CFR 1956, and a densely populated industrial area near downtown Honolulu. In December 2014, ASIG controllers noted inventory discrepancies after filling Tank 2 via ocean vessel. As a result, ASIG emptied, degassed, and cleaned Tank 2 beginning on December 26, 2014. Now, if they degassed, decleaned, and all of that on 26, so they knew before, that the floor was scanned by magnetic flux leakage. Tool and metal loss was noted at a 6-inch repair patch of the floor near the tank's center sump. ASIG stated that the leak was caused by failure of the weld at this patch location. Approximately 7:02 p.m. HST, Hawaii Standard Time, on January 21st, PHMSA was notified by the National Response Center of a leak at Tank 2. Tank 2 facility, an estimated 42,000 gallons of jet fuel seeped from the tanks. So if we can believe the military, it was 27,000 up there at Red Hill, and down here is 42,000 gallons. So, every little bit helps or hurt, depending on how you look at it. The last inspection of API Standards 653 tanks inspection, repair, alterations, and reconstruction on Tank 2 was performed in September 2007. The next API 653 out-of-service inspection was scheduled for 2017. An annual internal inspection and cleaning, annual cleaning inspection of Tank 2 was performed August 2014 with no issues found on the tank floor. See, and they don't hesitate to just spell it out. And we're going to post this up on carolcox.com. And you can see why you should be alarmed and appalled that the EPA, they should have at the same time announced this, given the public this report. And we have an additional report to make. Everything isn't hunky-dory here with everybody. So on March 11th, inspectors initiated an investigation of Tank 2 accident. This investigation identified numerous safety and regulatory issues relating to the inspection, record keeping, ongoing floor corrosion, and previous floor repairs of Tank 2.
specifically the previous two API inspections, out-of-service inspections in 2000 and 2007 on Tank 2, did not identify that undersized patches were used to repair the tank floor, identify all tank patches locations in the tank floor, according to several that had been installed between 1998 and the present. It failed. The report did not identify that some of the patches were placed over lap wells between floor plates. The report did not identify several recommendations made in 1996 inspection report that were not performed at the time because the tanks had already been placed back in service, including lap wells stepped in the wrong direction, undersized fillet wells, lack of API required hydro tests after the floor to shell fillet well was repaired, and use of both full penetration butt wells and lap wells on the annular ring. It did not use the proper data to determine the remaining life of the tank floor and time until the next scheduled API 653 out-of-service inspection. The 2000 API 653 out-of-service inspection report indicates that pits in the annular ring of the tank, but in the 2007 report, it does not indicate any pits. Furthermore, the operator had no records of a floor repair between 2000 and 2007 and did not recall any floor repairs taking place during this period. It did not include the bottom thickness of the UT readings in the 2007 report. It did not identify tank floor issues that required repair. No issues were indicated with the tank floor in 2007 inspection API checklist, despite the fact that many issues existed. ASIG did not conduct any API inspection, out-of-service inspection, within the time frame recommended by the last AP inspection. The time until the next inspection is listed in 5.33 years in the 2007 report. However, the tank did not have another inspection, out-of-service inspection, performed on it prior to its failure in December 2014. So imagine that. They say that it's going to happen in 2007, but then, and it was predicted, and 7 years later they still hadn't done anything and there was a leak. There were deficiencies in AIG's records regarding Tank 2 here. The operator believed that the tank had a double floor when there was only a single floor. No construction drawings records exist. The operator believed that there was a sand layer installed beneath the tank floor when it appears to be coarse material as observed by the PHMSA inspector. A 1998 inspection report documents that several patches installed on the floor, but subsequent inspection reports do not indicate any patches. Inspection of the tank floor, March 2015, identified several more patches installed that were not indicated on the 1998 drawing, but the operator had no record of them ever being installed. No records exist of the additional patches installed between 1998 and the present. Tank 2 maintenance records and inspection records do not properly document the floor repairs. The authorized tank inspector who last inspected Tank 2 also perform API out-of-service inspection on other tanks in the tank facility. The quality of the previous API inspections, out-of-service inspection, including record-keeping and analysis of results of the other 15 storage tanks at this facility, is therefore questionable. Based on the information provided by ASIG, inspector performed last API on tanks 3, 4, 5, 6, 11, 12, 13, 15, 17, 16, and 18. A different inspector, Inspector B, performed the last API out-of-service inspection on the four other tanks, but the Inspector A had also performed API on these out-of-service tanks. Based on Inspector A's involvement in inspecting all of the 15 tanks in the past, AIG's poor record-keeping of the tanks, we have concerns about the integrity of all other all 15 other tanks. ASIG has indicated that they have concerns about many, but not all of the tanks, as well as has begun the process performing inspections on the tanks that they are not concerned about. So imagine all of that now is a problem, and we got 16 tanks there, so they will have to go back and inspect them all. And I don't know, there are some other issues, and that report was sent to me by the Office of Pipeline Management Administration. And you can go to carolcox.com and see some of the complaint and the actual questions we raised back in March of this year to the PHMSA. And so the reason is that they sent it to me, and was that I had filed a letter of interest and a complaint to that office, because I just simply don't trust what is going on with the state health department, and I don't trust what is occurring with the EPA. EPA has had knowledge of Red Hill for some while, not just now. And what have they done? So as I've said, and it's a very firm allegation, that I believe that the EPA is nothing more than a professional group of people that to cover up. And though they are supposed to be the environmental justice and what have you, you might as well put your lips to a tailpipe on a fast car and pressure up there and get something, because they do not, they're not truthful. They delay. They have these fantastic, this process of the website. You can't get in touch with them. They respond to you as about as surly, and you know, they have no respect for the general public. Putting a website up and tell us that they're digging holes, but they can't go into details and all this, and right now we can't draw conclusions. You know, just the whole thing it's crazy. So I'm not hard on federal agencies, but we should expect more, and I just can't believe. So they have 30 days, within 30 days of receiving this safety order, develop and submit to the director a work plan for performing these inspections out of the facility that has not received API out of service inspection. December 2014, the work plan must utilize a risk-based prioritization methodology, include a schedule, and must provide all inspection and repairs to be complete by December 31st, 2016. The work plan will be incorporated into the safety order. So anyway, there's a whole list of things, and if you were interested, and if you inclined to, I would file a complaint with the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, and file on Red Hill. They have jurisdiction there too, so maybe we get something out of it, and rather than the Navy and the state and the EPA coming in holding hands and giggling like little teenage lovers, they would become responsible parents and do what they're supposed to do. Go ahead. I see you have a question.
Well, you know, I don't trust anything they say or do.
Uh-huh.
This quote, the Red Hill, all those tanks, the original tanks, and the infrastructure and everything else, that they spent billions, with a B, of dollars putting in the late 30s, and those particular tanks in 1940, getting ready for the war that was a surprise attack. You know?
Okay.
And so they have never, ever told the truth about what's going on with those tanks.
Yeah,
ever.
And the concerns is that there is a legitimate concern about the health issues of the environment and the people, and so, you know.
Well, we don't know what it has done to the soil. We keep talking about the water, but you know, the soil absorbs this stuff. So we don't know the soil, and we grow vegetables, and the dogs play in it, and children roll in the grass, and we don't know how the soil has absorbed this stuff, or if it has. And So there's so many issues, not just drinking water.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. If it's been released into the environment, all of the environment is impacted: the soil, the air, water, the plants, who takes it up in their roots, and the human beings that drinks it and consumes it and stores it in their fatty tissues and create problems. So, yeah, I mean, whether it's in the soil or not, it lays there, or lie there, and absorbed, and people breathe it, ingest it, or you don't have to breathe it or ingest it. You can get it on your skin and get it through the dermal process. So it's just wrong. But my point is that can we tolerate such looseness and cavalier behavior on the part of the state health department and the state, the militaries, there's all of the oil is still leaking and problematic in the harbors from the military and from the other facilities that had tanks, and they're leaking in the pipelines, and then we have the Air Force leaking, and then we have the Navy leaking at Red Hill, and we have this ASIG leaking, and then we turn and we see Matson. And you have to ask yourself, what is the outcome? How are these things treated on each occasion?
Well, we don't know. We don't know. I think I mentioned it, that Jim Albertini, 20-30 years ago, I guess it was, showed a picture of them moving nuclear weapons from Waikele. Now we have a whole community built on that contaminated land called Waikele. We've got a whole community built on it. And the same with Lualua, all of that contaminants, and then they build communities over it.
But I guess that's the end result, or what transpired. But how do we get there? How, if it's contaminated, where's the EPA's statement? Where's the health department's open policy or open statements on this?
Well,
where they've made public, you don't find them, and so
no,
that's the concerns
well,
I have.
Not, well, if you remember last January with a hearing at the Capitol, Gabbard's committee, and after it was over, our health department, in the name of Gary Gill, actually chastised Mr. Lau for telling the truth.
Yeah.
Now, I heard it. It's not something I've read. After we walked out the door, Gary Gill gave Mr. Lau hell for telling the truth about the water.
And did we write Gary Gill a letter and say, how dare you, or did we just witness that and then talk about it later? So let's see. I'm a doer. I don't like to watch things. It's painful hearing that story. You've told me that on a good
occasion. I have told you a thousand times.
Yeah, it's like, do I have to relive this? That's painful hearing it. If you didn't write and say you, blah blah blah. You know, how dare you, when you knew the same information and you failed to, and then you chastise the person who speaks up and tell the truth. How dare you? I'm writing the governor immediately and tell him I wouldn't vote for him for nothing, for egg keeper or nothing, until he get rid of Gary. That's the kind of action we need, rather
Wait.
Than see the, you know, I saw the accident, but what'd you do?
I
did nothing. And that's what I'm not telling you what you should do, but I think this is what we all should do now, is stop swallowing the Kool-Aid. This EPA, I wouldn't trust anything. And when you hear, you know, that meeting was frightening at Red
Hill. It was.
Because the one lady that talked about the rare cancer, that was, she said something about there were 18 people in the U.S. that had it. And I hope I'm getting this right. I think she was going to be on there on this play, on this show that we're putting on. But she said 18 of those in the United States or something, and that two she and another woman who lived on the same street has it, or the same street, the same area.
Yeah, so I think she said the same street, but I may be wrong, but it was close to her.
And then you hear the other families that lived in the area, Moonaloo Valley, and again, I must say, though they were there, and I cannot say that the cancer was caused by this, but it's just she presented this. So there's a lot of cancer amongst us. And mm-hmm. and so what is the ATSDR? That's the agency for this whole thing is just a game. And they're playing the game, and we're the little ball that they bang around with this. And so that's where we are with this. The EPA, they don't get my vote for any trust or anything. And the state health department. You take, for example, just yesterday, there is a fire that started. They don't know the origin. Maybe they do. Who knows? But this fire is in the Campbell Industrial Park. And by the way, if you want to see some pictures, you can go to Carol Cox Facebook, Carol Cox, and you can see the fire and what have you. And as far its impact, the smoke was going as far as Waianae side, going out to sea and then getting to Black Rock and then coming back in on the breeze, and people out there. And do you know, I stood there photographing and filming that, trying to document and just record what was going on with this fire. And you didn't see one single health department employee. Now, mind you, I just filed a request on the UIPA for this and just received it, I think, last week on the permit for Island Recycling, because my concerns were the fire. And what if they had a fire in the scrap metal pile? How would you fight it? Because if it's all taken over the whole area, how could you get in there and be aggressive and fight that fire? And the state health department, once again, this facility has had violation after violation after violation, and the state health department then grants them extensions and fine them, and we've talked about this on the show. So once again, this professional agency is not professional.
Well, this
let me finish.
Go ahead.
This regulatory agency is not regulating. The only thing that's regular about it is that you can see that they're not doing the job, that you can anticipate that. But they will slam you. There's people that go to jail. You know, there's Stephen Swift, who they just took him to jail. And I know he violated the law, but there are other people who don't go to jail. And that's what this state agency does. That's what the EPA does. They will try to hammer home an example, but all around them is that they are facilitating and assisting the companies to lie and the companies to operate with just slightly on the line. You know, no permits? Okay, well, we'll get a permit. Well, then here are the conditions, but you're not adhering to the conditions. Well, we want to get this new piece of equipment. Well, to get that new piece of equipment, you need to get a new permit for that specific piece. But then instead, we'll just go ahead and amend and modify your existing permit to accompany this separate operation. So that fire yesterday could have been prevented, should have been prevented, and it was the state health department who was responsible for the whole kit and caboodle. And I hope to hammer it home with them, the solid and hazardous waste branch. You know, you smile with them, you talk with them, and they then, if you go in and you give them information, they want information, and they want to be professional. But at the end of the day, when they handle it, when you see the end results, there's no professionalism in it. They do nothing to protect the environment. Half the guys, one guy said on TV, I'm not paying that penalty. And they're still going, well, what are we going to do? You know, you catch someone violating, you let them know, and he then proclaims he's not paying for it, on television, mind you. You know, it's time to ramp it up, and say, well, you're not going to pay, then we'll go and indict you, and then we'll arrest you.
Well, I looked at the pictures, and I was astounded at the mountain of supposedly recycled material. That is a mountain.
Yeah. Well, you know, in theory, when you look at that, you say, okay, it's metal. Now, how can metal burn? Right? Well, metal does not burn.
So something else is there.
So, you know, the normal operation in any facility, whether it's that facility or another recycler or another, it's a process that, you know, when you take in a refrigerator, there are generally plastics and foams, and then in each refrigerator or air conditioning unit has a little canister or processor, and that processor or compressor has a little black pot, and it has about 4.5 ounces of oil, and it's not hazardous, but it's still oil and it's chlorinated. So you treat it as hazardous. Well, you're not going to get, even if you decant them, you're not going to get every drop of the oil out. And then you have freons, and the freons dissipate into the air, which should not be. But then you have cars which have crankshaft and brake fluids and all of that. So when you he's only doing what he's legally he's entitled to do, and even that poses a risk because it's, you know, taking fuels and there are gas tanks with cars, and so all of that presents a problem. And then there are other chemicals and what have you that are found in different equipment. So when you get that, eventually when you have this huge pile, it's going to start to leak, and as it's hot, on hot days you're going to have, and then there's foam, and then there's rubber, and there's plastics from cars and what have you, brake fluids. So what you're seeing there is potentially combustion, you know, spontaneous combustion could be a factor. It could be arson. It could be many things. But why would the state health department allow this? So if I was a guy who has a fire, I'd say, well, I was only doing exactly what the state was allowing me to do. They were just here at my facility and gave me permission to do it. But so this big fire should be owned up by the state health department and the EPA. But, you know, when they're busy glad-handing people and managing their images and getting on planes to make sure that the kids get signed into college on the mainland at the expense of the people, you know, got to go to a training in Colorado. Well, isn't that kind of funny? Your daughter is going to go to school in Colorado, isn't that? And why did this meeting, you know, coincide with the registration of children or the, you know, for the college? Because I needed to go up and get my child's dorm room picked out and, you know, and get a sign in. So this is what occurs in this state. Everybody is pimping the system. And at the end of the day, we don't get anything for it.
Okay, can I ask you another question since we're talking
it'll
about that area?
Cost you $20.
Okay. All righty. We'll add that to the cat fund.
I'm going to put it to your running account. If I don't
okay.
catch up with
that,
it.
We'll add it to the cat fund. Listen, okay, so I just discovered as of yesterday that we're burning coal down there at, the same area.
This is why I say you should go buy a new radio, and you should have been listening to the Carol Cox Show, because I've laid that out for you a long time ago. You could have been miles ahead.
Okay, so the governor okays it that we're burning coal.
This governor okays anything. I give up on him. You know.
We're not going to go down that road.
No, I am. I'm going to go down that road, because when you see hope in someone's voice and you hear it, and then you'd say, hope looks like BS.
It does.
You know, and change look like BS. So what's the difference between a cow patty and what this governor says? You know?
Well,
it really,
I mean,
I say that. I don't need any, you don't have to mumble comment or nothing. This is me saying that, and it's based on my observations. Whatever comes out of his mouth, it's difficult to see. And if I saw a cow patty sitting there and what he said, I wouldn't be able to discern the two. I'm just going to tell you, because nothing, every bit of hope. We voted Neil Abercrombie out, not because David Ige was a handsome, good-looking, fast-talking, rocker kind of guy and, you know, and all that. We were looking for change. And all we hear is change rattling in his pockets from his friends and all that, if it's GET and all of that, you know. And so just too many things, we don't hear him speak out, not what we wanted. So we could have voted for anybody and got worse. So I think this whole process is, go ask the people at Flamingo that would they like to have seen the extension of the GET. But nonetheless, This process is at a out there in, it's called Barber's Point, right?
Barber's, yeah.
Okay. So I've told you that they come in with a ship and they offload the coal, and there's a conveyor belt that goes through there, through the whole, not through the entire Camel Industrial Park, but come from down to the D-Draft Harbor, the Draft Harbor. And a conveyor belt hauls the coal up and dumping it. You can see it, mountains of it. In fact, I'll post a picture of it. And that's where they burn coal. And then the residue. And the residue goes up to PVT. and that's where they place it. So when he gives that, but not only that, they burn rubber. They, at one time, I don't know, I haven't checked recently, but they burn filters from the city, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And water filters from the Board of Water Supply and all kinds of stuff. So, but again, you know, that sounds bad, and coal is coal, but you know, while we're talking about this, one other subject I had penciled in was that, you see, right now there's a crisis looming. Within the city. The city and county of Honolulu, there's a problem, and some of you farmers out there, if you can call in and confirm this or offer some input on it, I've learned that information is that you know that they want to burn fecal matter, human waste, at H-Power, right? So, but right now, what happens to the dead animals that that die in just a normal day process or what have you? What happened to those animals in the farming, the pigs and the cows and the chickens? What happened to those? Well, there's a debate. The city can't decide whether they want to burn them at H-Power, so they say go to the landfill. The landfill is saying, and then use rocks and a little bit of dirt to cover the dead animals up. So, meantime, there's a crisis looming, and so if you were a farmer right now, there's no clear statement as to where these animals should go, these carcasses. So there's a problem there, folks, and the solution is the city is saying take them to the landfill. But we don't have daily cover because when the farmers take them to the landfill, that's going to be a cost for dumping, but then a daily cover, and they're using tarps now. They're not using... and all the total using daily cover like they used to, tarps, I'm told. So imagine one crisis after the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Well, you mean if you're a farmer and you've got not a cat or dog, but real big animals.
If your horse died.
Yeah.
Yeah, you basically, right now, you keep it on your property because... The city is not taking them in burn. You can't take them to H-Power. You can't take them to the landfill because the landfill is, you know. And then you, if you're the federal government, you know, the guys at Wildlife Services who kill a lot of animals and all, where do they take the pigs and the state, and those guys that kill animals, where do they take them? To the landfill. So, you know, one day all those animals are going to rise up and probably attend the funeral of the Monk's Hill. Yeah. Crazy place called Waianae.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And one last thing, and then I...
Real quick, because I got the last 10 minutes. Got to go to my man, Francis.
Okay. Now, NOAA has been keeping records of the water temperature since 1950, and it has been increasing. The ocean's temperature has been increasing ever since. Now, we go back to 1946 when they first started using nuclear, hydrogen, all those kind of ugly bombs on the Marshall Islands and into the ocean. And they had underground tests and all of the thermonuclear tests and what have you. So, when I asked Noah, did that contribute to the ocean warming? First, there was this blank look over the guy's face, and then he said, oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Couldn't contribute. So, I just sort of passed on that.
Okay, come on, we...
No, I'm just putting it out there.
Okay, yeah, okay, so Noah's...
Another one of their areas of...
Yeah, but are we going to rely on them to confirm that global warming is occurring? And it, even if it was, you know, anybody that argue about it, you know, then we just need to send the nut bus out to pick them up, because it's just, it is what human beings have really fouled this earth, and any way possible that they can not own up to it is going to always occur, whether it's a Republican or a fancy, fast-talking Democrat named Al Gore. It's still, even what they're proposing, you know, he's not giving up his ways, Al Gore, and the Republicans, you know, I mean, they sitting there waiting for companies to fix it for them. So we're stuck. We're in a boat with no paddle in a big ocean that's warming, and we're seeing, and we were talking about this earlier, and I'm going to try next week to get about that. In the Inuit talk, we talk out there on Marshall Island, talking about that the haphazard storage of all that waste that was used in the testing and generated from the testing. And I'm hoping, as I've shared with you, and I'm open about it, many times we say the people from the Marshall Islands are getting treated wrong, but I've reached out and gone to the consulate or the equivalent of the consulate, and they say, yeah, we'll come, and then they don't. So it's kind of hard to continue to attempt to talk about something that would bring light to a subject and the potential threats, and then they say, yeah, I'll come, and then they don't come. So it's kind of disheartening. So anyway,
it is disheartening, and they had a hurricane. You know, they call it a typhoon. And I didn't see anything locally about it with all the Marshallese that are here.
Yeah, well, but that's okay. That's a different show about
agencies.
The media don't cover something. But anyway, but yeah, that hopefully I can come up with some information on that, but only if they're willing to talk, because I haven't been to the Marshall Islands for a while, and so I wouldn't want to speak on something that I'm not informed on.
Okay.
So anyway,
so Francis?
Yeah, Francis, tomorrow, right?
Uh huh.
Sweet and sour soup.
Okay.
What You're time?
I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah, well, it's so good to have you back, and I'm sure John Nolan's going to be. And as I said, don't forget to listen to John Nolan at 5 to 7, right, Francis, on the weekdays. Drive Time, mm-hmm. and the John Nolan Show. And then there's, on Fridays, Jeff Davis, the Solar Man.
Yeah,
the Solar Guy. I'm sorry. A big difference between a man and a guy, you know.
The Solar Guy, yeah.
But who else is part of this KWAI family?
Oh, you got the source, Damien and Karen. They talk about health on Saturday mornings.
Oh, and then, go ahead.
Yes, and Hesh, of course. Hesh on in the mornings, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Saturdays also.
On Saturday. Hesh Goldstein.
Yes.
Then there's Martin, the morning show from 7.
Uh-huh. We got Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, my, I forgot him already.
Oh, yeah, and it's a good show. I like it. It talks about auto and just everything. It's a really good show. And then then there's PJ with us, and he's
I miss PJ. Oh. I haven't talked to him for a while.
Yeah, well, PJ, if you're listening, you think he's listening to this show? If he is, PJ, call up and say
PJ.
Hello.
Yeah.
Paul Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, we miss you, man. I know I do, too, not from the aspect of... point of the office technician, you know, I see you as a friend, and I'm always thinking about you, and that's why I want to just, and people asking, how is he? Well, you know what? Hey, Francis, can you come in?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's good seeing you, and I'm sure you're going to succeed,
And I'm surprised, you know, I looked at my desk in the, you know, next door in the production room. I thought it'd be messy, but it's nice and clean.
We know. Barry told us how you scream and shout when somebody messes your desk.
Okay.
It's always there.
Yes.
And so anyway, we sometimes I'm listening to the radio and then I hear, that's Francis's voice. You have about 1,000 voices, different sounds, and so where did you get your, what's your history on and announcing and all?
Well, I went to Columbia School of Broadcasting back in the 80s. That's how I got my training.
Mm-hmm.
Then I interned at another radio station, you know, same thing in the 80s. And that's what I'm, I met Tiny Tadani. Everyone knows Tiny, so, you know, that's how I got my start in radio.
Mm. Well, and so you... You used to do the Joe Lazio for the technician early morning, right? You were early morning rise.
I got to contact Joe. I got to tell him how I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
But that, having you here, just I hear these commercials and I think, wow, he did that. He did this. What's your favorite commercial you've ever done, or the one you're most proud of? I know it's a hard question because then you're going to leave.
I don't know.
Oh, it's not the one you did for me?
Well, yeah, I like that. I mean, people, and, you know, they rag me about that that law commercial about me having kids and divorce and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's an old
legal commercial. Aid.
Legal aid, yeah. That was done in 07. It's an old commercial.
Yeah. How does it go? Have you needed? I did too.
I don't know the script. I can't do it by memory.
But something about I've been divorced. Like me, I went and I was getting
legalese. That's legalese.
Yeah,
legalese.
But anyway, it's a lot of fun, and I'm amazed at how a person can walk in here and say, Francis, I have this, and in an instant, you're able to sit there and they do the talking. And then you do this cropping and editing, and it's bang.
Yeah.
So how do you decide which music do you put in? What do you decide and what do you use to determine what music?
You know, if the music matches the voice, I'll use it.
Oh, okay.
Plain and simple.
If it matches the voice.
Yeah, if the voice sounds good with the music, I'll use it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, well, anyway, I hope you're back soon, but if not, you can come in and hang out. And
James Tucker, in the morning, James Tucker.
Yes, in the morning. And that's a good show. I've come to listen to that one every morning, and his part about what happens in every state.
James and his wife, Yayoi.
Yeah, James Tucker in the morning at 7?
From 7 to 9.
7 to 9, you know, here at 10:80 a.m.
Right.
So anyway, folks, if you want to listen to any of this on carolcox.com, help yourself at carolcox.com. Just hit all of the playbacks. There are podcasts there, and or go to KWAI 1080 AM, and you can hear the show at any time, both at carolcox.com and KWAI 1080 AM.com, and you can get us over the internet wherever you are in the whole wide world. So anyway, we'll see you. And Marsha, go ahead real quick.
It used to be the restaurant right at the bottom of the elevator had the best hot sour soup right at the bottom of your elevator. Oh. I don't know if they still do, but they used to.
Okay.
Well, okay, I know which one you're talking about, yeah.
All righty. Well, I want to thank all of you for listening. And Francis, thank you for coming in and sitting with me. And
nice seeing you guys.
Aloha, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
All right.
Aloha.
The chilly wind, they don't blow. Oh, yeah. There will be red roses round my door. Honey, baby, there will be red roses round my door.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.